Okay, this is Chairman Brad Holt, and I'll bring the hearing back to order. We've been in a recess till 3:20. Time is 3:20:48. All right. So where are we at? At this point, I'm not sure I feel comfortable with closing off public testimony, and here's why. I see this as see two vastly different goals. One is to protect existing residential, and the second is to create a plan for industry that they can have a plan of what to do with their ground. So how you get there is conditioning it. And I'm not sure that I have clarity in my mind about what I feel comfortable with, because they're fairly opposing desires. And like I said earlier in the meeting, this is the first parcel of ground that Gail has that's immediately adjacent to residential. And so I want to consider that carefully. Where are you two at?
Chairman, I am empathetic with the position that you're taking. This board is trying in tandem with development services to clean up some of the county code and some of the ambiguity that exists in there, compounded by some of the prior decisions. I see both sides, but I think there needs to be thoughtful decision making. And if because of the proximity of residential to the M1 zone, I would want to look more carefully and perhaps have a conversation with our planning supervisor to get in my own mind what that transition area should look like. There is, I brought it forward on this traffic issue. I would support, if what you're suggesting is that we continue this hearing to take a pause and evaluate the merits of both sides, which there are some that I understand that this is an industrial corridor. I also understand that we've heard many, many of the same testimony from areas, from people that have farmed this area, live in this area, experienced the concerns, which is what's brought them here today to express objection. So I would propose a pause.
Mr. Chairman, I'm prepared to move forward. I do agree with your sentiment that it's going to come down to what the conditioning is. If this is to be approved, I think it's based upon the conditions.
Correct.
So, but I could move forward if
okay.
You wanted to move forward.
Well, I think that even to pause, I would want to give some kind of clarity to DSD staff in what they could bring back to us as some proposed verbiage for this board to consider. Dan, do you have some thought forward?
So through the chair, so one thing over the break, we did hear from the applicant that said they were more inclined with the sign directing traffic to the highway, and then also the lighting to ensure it's shielded and directed as directed by the conditions that are proposed by staff and P&Z. So they were more inclined to keep those. The other thing I just wanted to remind the board here is our code. So when we hear these conditional rezones, it's not the applicant's conditions that are proposed. It says it's the presiding party who can establish conditions, stipulations, regulations, and limitations which restrict and limit the use of the rezoned property. And then it goes into to even say these limitations and stipulations should be opposed to promote the public health, safety, and welfare, or to reduce any potential damage, hazard, nuisance, and other detriments to persons and property in the vicinity to make the land use more compatible with the neighboring land use. So I do want to put it out there that it's really your conditions at the end that you get to pose in this, not the applicants, not even the P&Zs if you want to. It's something you get to choose and place on there, and it's up to them at the end to agree with them or not. I'll give you an example. Just east of this, there was an industrial use proposed, and we stipulated with quite a large amount of conditions. And at the end, because it was so the transition to ag and industrial there was so far out, it just got denied because there was too many conditions. It wasn't enough there to show that it was the right timing for that. This is a little different. It's touching industrial. It's up against Southwest Simplot Boulevard, where there is a transition there for industrial movement going on there. However, you still have that transition where it's adjacent to existing residential and industrial. There's some great conditions, I think, that are already in front of you. Staff can provide some more clarity if we want to on certain things. One of the recent approvals that the board did back on State Highway 44 for a heavy commercial use, we required an operations plan to be submitted before prior to commencement. It had to show landscaping buffers. It had to show the type of lighting they're going to put in. And that hasn't happened yet, but it was something that the owner agreed to, and it would run with the land. So anything you put on here, if Miguel Manufacturing decided to sell it to somebody who wants to split it, it runs with the land. The conditions have to be met or it gets reverted back.
Right. Both of those up on the screen or not? You just have
the conditions of approval.
Yeah.
There was a slide at some point that had. That's what came from P&Z, and then I just have pulled up what was proposed by the applicant, trying to compare.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
This is for Dan or Emily. Is it your opinion on D? If we were to keep that, we'd have to remove the routed to. We could just keep routed from.
Through the chair, I think yes. It might be a little difficult for to direct trucks to the property just because they might enter separately.
That's my opinion as well. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I know for condition B, we could always change it. Instead of saying zones similarly, we could explicitly state which zones that we would want to be contiguous, and also maybe say all boundaries, the other boundaries with the other zones. They have to hold the 100-foot until they're zoned M1 or something, whatever you prefer.
I agree that B needs to be developed with more specificity.
And Chairman, I also agree that given the testimony that some of this noise can be heard up to a mile and a half away, that as much of a buffer, especially for people in proximity or adjacent to, that's at least appropriate, 100-foot.
Mr. Chairman, we're not deliberating yet, but it would be my opinion 45 feet is not going to make much of a difference. So
you're good with the 55 feet?
Yeah, I'm good either way. I'm not going to sit here and make an argument that it has to be one or the other.
Okay.
Chairman?
Yes.
we able to put forth some ideas? We're in a pre-deliberation, I guess, but.
Well, we're trying, I see that this time is bringing up issues that you would like staff to look at in the in light of them bringing back alternate possibilities that we could consider.
Right. So
I guess that's where I think I'm at. But
okay.
Maybe Commissioner Brooks is already on the tracks. And
I don't know.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I'm struggling with following where you're headed without knowing what you are trying to mitigate in the first place with the condition.
I'm trying to mitigate something that's workable on traffic, which I'm not clear how I can do that, but I feel quite a bit better that the applicant is willing to put signage on his property directing the preferred route for the traffic to go, the heavy truck traffic to go. I am not comfortable with the applicant's proposed lighting verbiage. I'm familiar with the verbiage, but most of this lighting is the issue of the stuff that's out in the yard and not necessarily the building. Noise, good grief. Even a Home Depot in Boise got shut down because they didn't follow the noise ordinance on the conditional use permit. So I'm not wanting a future industrial user to get shut down unknowingly, but I'm not willing for an industrial user to be right across the ditch and be banging away, because we don't know what this future user will be. This ground's getting prepared, and we have not heard any testimony with specificity what the future use is. So we're operating blind and trying to do the best case scenario we can to appease the residential area and appease the greatest and best use for the property. I'm trying to do that both with not having all of the information available. And that's okay. I understand where they're at. They don't have a specific user of the ground, but what they want is the availability to utilize the ground in an M1. So,
Chairman,
there you go.
Yeah, and I appreciate your comments. Here's what I heard in the testimony from Marnie Fillmore, that trees were still needed, even though the applicant has indicated that there are some there. We've heard two people in opposition testify that some of those dropped their leaves. So trees, road improvements, mitigation for noise, that could include restricting the hours of operation. And I think it's a good point that's been brought out that because we don't know the usage, whether this will be an expanded staging area for Gale Manufacturing or a completely different use, we do have the ability, thank you, Dan, for bringing that out, as the board, as the presiding party, to limit those kinds of things to help mitigate the issues that the surrounding property owners have talked about, setbacks, the lighting, the all of that.
Through the chair, I'm just going to add a few things. So one, based on other decisions made by the board, what we've seen on these ones where it's a rezone without a specific use, we have identified that at the time of use, typically like Southwest District Health, ITD, Highway District, they're going to have access permits and requirements that if it is a use that generates a certain amount, they're going to have to do a traffic impact study. They're going to have to do their improvements still before that agency gives an approval. You know, so there is some checks and balances along the way. Regarding noise, I do want to kind of give you an idea of maybe some of the older conditions that this board has created on similar cases. One of them was prior to commencement of use or at the time of first building permit, whatever occurs first, a noise management plan demonstrating noise reduction methods such as hours of operation restrictions or restricting noise generating equipment within an enclosed structure shall be provided. So we have had conditions similar to that, where they have to demonstrate at the time of use, where they'll understand what use is there. They're providing us an operations plan that demonstrate that they are, how they're going to minimize these impacts. Unfortunately, what that means, though, it doesn't come back before the board to decide if that's enough or not. It really allows the developer to kind of say what that is and the director of DSD to kind of go, okay, sounds okay. So that's the only thing there's really to really develop that out. We need to know the use, and then we can, at that point, get a better understanding of maybe the minimal, how to minimize that. But without it, we can say, like, that's the only one I can find that we've done recently that says you give us a plan of what that looks like, but there's really no stipulations in there.
Right.
Yeah. And the county does not have a noise ordinance, so there's nothing we can use.
There's no noise standards, yeah. But unfortunately, the public knows noise when they hear it.
Right.
Chairman, I think that's the obstacle that you and I are trying to overcome is the unknown. And the fact that the board doesn't, we might put something in there, but we don't have a final say-so.
I said I was ready to roll, so, but it appears I am a minority of one in that.
How would you like to proceed?
Dan, we're not able to continue to a date uncertain. We have to have a date certain. Yeah.
To the chair, so if you continue to a date certain, it doesn't mean you need any more new information. Maybe it's just staff coming back with some ideas and things like that to where we can bring them back to the board based on some direction. Maybe that doesn't require, but if you want the applicant to bring back something that we want some comment back and forth from, like the public to address or to at least weigh in on, then we would want it to a date certain. We would want it re-noticed. So we give the public enough time, as well as the applicant, enough time to respond and address the what you want returned to you. So whatever information you want, or if it's crafting a condition addressing these things, have the applicant do that, and then open it to the public, at least for that. So when it comes back to you, the public hearing would be only to discuss that new information. That's it, not reopening it to the extent you already got information on. So you could do that. Unless it's just you don't want any more new information, you just want staff to address or bring back something, then you can do it to a date certain, and we put it on the record, and then you can open it up to public if you need to.
And Chairman, I would submit I had a conversation with our facilities director earlier today who said that contractors are getting like 8 subs on a project for bidding, and so what that's indicating is that there's a slow. Mr. Mills did put on the record that some of that ground that's returned to the tax base is admittedly lagging. It would be helpful if we knew what it was, and given the information that's been put on the record that there appears to be a shortage of this zoning type.
I feel comfortable with just directing staff to craft several different statements of approval here that would help give it specificity in dealing with the immediacy of the R1 adjacent, and even to the extent that some of that would sunset at the change of zoning. If in the future that parcel goes to an M1, then all of the conditions would sunset. I just think as a commissioner that I have to look out for both sides.
Chairman, can I ask you to clarify on that? Because that was brought up in testimony. And is what that means in layman's terms that people would sell their property and that would be acquired and rezoned? Is that, yeah.
Or they could choose to become M1. And
to the chair, the other condition would be don't have it sunset, and if there is a change, then they can come back and modify their DA to remove it at that point and demonstrate there's a necessity.
Okay. And I'm comfortable with that, too.
Yeah, I think that makes me feel better.
Okay. All right. The buffer, to me, needs specificity. At least on the P&Z, it didn't show both deciduous and evergreen. And I think the applicant is spot on about needing both vegetation. I just think it needs to be spelled out.
Through the chair, the applicant did state they're concerned about the buffer being an area where it's not maintained. Should there be some type of landscaping plan to where it remains maintained so it doesn't become weeds?
Yeah, it needs to be irrigated and maintained. I'm confused. Do we have to have G? Seems to be a little bit nitty-gritty because they're going to have to meet all of the conditions that says up in one.
Yeah, you don't have to have it. It was just a reminder to the applicant.
And Chairman, if it's not removed, then that becomes a code enforcement issue, correct?
Through the chair, it could become a code enforcement issue, I guess, either way. If they don't comply with it, with the condition, you know, they could get a code enforcement violation or vice versa. It just depends if they comply with the code or not. If that makes sense.
And Chairman, in an M1, so Dan, I know you got an answer coming, but M1 doesn't allow these kind of dwellings on the property, correct?
Correct. So RVs outside of an RV park are not allowed unless they get a temporary permit, which is only good for a few months, a year. So has to be in an RV park.
Yep.
The only reason why you may want to keep that is if you want that to be cleared up within the 2-year time frame, and if it isn't, then we can revert it back if they don't meet their conditions.
Chairman, I would be in favor. I mean, it should be an easy condition to comply with.
Okay. I'm not going to fall on my sword over it. Okay. Are we where we can consider a continuance? Does staff feel that they've had? Enough? I just don't think that we have clearness in the words.
I agree.
And through the chair, just to get some direction, if we allow the trees to be in there, are we good with the 55-foot setback, or do we want the 100 still?
Chairman, I personally would just take the planning and zoning recommendation.
I'm good with 55.
Through the chair, well, we can bring back the updated conditions, and from there you can decide.
There you go.
5 or 100.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to stay here all day on 35 feet. All right.
Mr. Chair, did you also want to add, or did you want us to add the applicant's condition about the 400 feet of trees, or just like more of a specific landscaping for the entirety of the buffer?
Then you get into the. You get into having to receive a landscaping plan.
Chairman, can I ask a question while you're contemplating the question?
Sure.
Dan, when on the management plans for operation, I was unclear on whether or not that's appropriate to put that in conditions of approval, because when this ground is either sold, if the board wants to have some say-so on how that operation plan goes forward, restricting hours of operation instead of a 24-hour, where is it appropriate to put that?
mean, it should be now. And so through the chair, that's why sometimes some of these conditional rezones get denied because there's not a specific plan. And so we can't answer certain questions. In many cases, we're able to condition it to where we feel comfortable, or the board has felt comfortable anyways, to move forward with this. Again, that is your purview to review if you have enough information to allow for this rezone to go through. Again, you're looking at this just to see if the area has changed so much where the rezone makes sense. And this is a conditional rezone to reduce it so much that it can make sense. So it's up to you that can you conditionally get it there or not. In this case, I think there's some really good conditions here. You still have that ability to think about that once we bring back a few extra conditions so you can see specificity. Can't say it. I'll let you say it. Bring some of that back and then let you decide from there if it's enough or not. Yeah.
Okay.
So you could bring back proposed language for the board to evaluate?
Based on what is being directed right now about, it sounds like the buffer, what that a maintenance plan of some sort, adding the 400 foot of the trees that we're talking about. So add that language together, bring that before you so you can see it. And then it sounded also like you wanted to maybe talk about, what's the other one here? That it's maintained until there's another use, maybe get rid of that part of it. So maybe just bring that back and see what happens. I don't know. I didn't hear anything else about the other sections here. So it sounded like the commissioners didn't have any concern about the caretaker condition in there.
Nope.
Just more information about the 100-foot buffer and in its time frame and the maintenance of that. The exterior lighting plan, or there would be a plan that would be submitted at the time of building permit, and what it entails is fully shielded place to direct the light source downward inside the property line. So there's fixtures to do that. So that sounds pretty straightforward. And then the signage being updated just to exiting the property, they have to make a right. So we make sure that's clear so we can clarify that. We can bring back some of the, just a clarification on that and see if that doesn't.
And did I hear you say or know that consideration for a noise management plan restricting?
We've done it before. I mean, I can bring just based on other decisions what we've done before. It's just it doesn't bring it back to the board of what that is.
Yeah.
So at the time of the use, whatever gets there, they're going to determine their hours of operation and how they're going to maintain the property to reduce noise. And we've seen before they'll do that through hours of operation, or they'll make sure noise impacts are brought inside and nothing's outside. But we won't know that until there's a use. Yeah. So we can ask for that, but again, it'll be a condition that they provide that at time of building permit or something like that. And it's really reviewed by planning. And
Dan, thank you. I did not mean to say noise operation. I meant hours of operation.
Right.
Yeah, thank you.
And so it'll be hard. We don't have anything in our code saying what normal hours of operation would be in an industrial area or a transition area. We don't have that. So we would have to come up with something that makes sense for that area. This is what happens when you have two different uses transitioning into each other, unfortunately.
I still would be okay for the director to review the application at that time and make a determination. I mean, he can look at it. There's either a house that's being resided in and it's right across the property line from the industrial, or it's not. So let them make the determination what the greatest and best use of the ground is.
Okay.
Through the chair, it sounds like the cleanup you want us to do is really just modifying what's already there, what has always already been provided. So based on that, we can just table it to a date certain, bring that back to you. It's not going to take very long. Doesn't sound like you need additional information to where we need to add some more to it that's not in front of you. So
no, I'm not. Yeah, I'm. For the record, I'm not asking you to come up with anything that was not discussed in this hearing.
Okay.
Just work within the boundaries of the testimony. and the statements that are on the record. All right, so a date certain. Is there any likelihood that you could do it quickly or not?
We can do
like
it.
Monday or Tuesday.
Yep.
Meet again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Jenna, what do we have on Monday afternoon?
Nothing.
We should be open, but I couldn't tell if we had availability to both commissioners.
One thirty.
All right. I'm okay with a motion continuing this to 1:30. We have not made the decision about public testimony. Do you feel comfortable to make a decision about public testimony at this point, or let it stay open till?
I'm fine to close it, Mr. Chairman, to make it cleaner.
Okay. All right. Then I would entertain discussion or a motion.
Chairman, I move we close public testimony.
Second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded to close public testimony. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Then let's consider a motion for continuance.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we continue this to a date certain of February 9th at 1:30 p.m.
I second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded to for continuance. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. So let's be adjourned until we meet again at 1:30, then on the 9th. All right, we are adjourned.